My name's Tim Ord. I'm the associate pastor here, and I'm going to be speaking a little bit on fasting. Why do we do this? How do we do this? And so that's where we're going today. We're going to be, our main passage is going to be from Matthew 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. But we're going to be looking at a bunch of other passages throughout this time too. Let's pray together and we'll delve into the word together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be in your house together, to worship you. And I thank you for what you've done. You've called us out of darkness. You've called us out of sin. You've rescued us from death, and you've given us an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that can't perish, spoil, or fade. And Lord, we thank you for this. We honor you and just want to hear from you today. I pray that you would grow the place in our heart where you reside. I pray that you would grow love for you in us and that you would increase faith in us today as we hear your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so May 3 through 5, we're going to be having a three-day fast. So our prayer room is going to be open from 6 a.m. until midnight each day. And there is a sign-up sheet. You're able to sign up for a time. I don't know how many slots are still open on that. But please do find some time. It's really a great opportunity. If you've never taken the time to just sit quietly before the Lord and listen for His voice, it is something that can really be transformative. It's a bit hard sometimes because we're used to always being busy. We're used to always reading or looking or filling our minds with something else. But to be in that place of just listening for His voice and reading His word and waiting to hear from Him, that's something that we want to cultivate and something we want to grow during this time of fasting. What are we doing when we're fasting? What's it about? We're humbling and quieting ourselves to hear from God. We're putting ourselves into a place of weakness and seeking His voice in a more focused way. Now, I don't want to, tell everybody how to fast, what to set aside and things like that. You know, the standard idea of fasting is you don't eat. You're putting yourself into a natural state of weakness. But I think the main thing, more than anything, that we're going to talk about today is it's the heart of it. It's aligning our heart with the heart of God. So, the second part of it positions us to be able to receive more from the Lord. It doesn't force the hand of God. You know, if we're fasting, we're not going to all of a sudden twist God's arm and say, "All right, you're going to give me what I want now, and you're going to, you do the miracles that I've been asking for." It's not that. But what it does is it aligns us. It puts us into a position to be able to receive from Him. It causes us to quiet ourselves and to be able to hear His voice. And, ultimately, the main thing that we want to do during this time of fasting, we want to grow in intimacy with Christ. We're looking forward to His return. We're longing for His return. And we want to increase our dependency on Him. I know, so many times it's super easy to depend on ourselves, to depend on what we know and what we're good at, and just kind of stay away from the things that we're not good at. But Jesus wants us to depend on Him, wants us to rely on Him for everything. So Matthew 6, 16, we're going to start there and read what Jesus says about fasting. He's talking to, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount here, and he says, "When you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Something about fasting, it does seem to be more prominent in Christian circles these days. I don't remember hearing about it as much when I was younger. And, maybe I don't know why, but it does seem like we hear about it more. We hear about it from more sides. It does seem to be something that's growing. And, even the world has now begun to promote fasting as, it's got physical health reasons, you should fast, you should cleanse your body, all that kind of stuff. But we're not looking for a dietary reasons here. I'm sure there's better ways to lose weight and get healthy than fasting. But that's not what we're doing. But we're here. We're planning with these 3 days. We want to be intentional. And we want to, what's our goal? What's our focus? What's our purpose? Because I know most of the time, if you go about something, you say, all right, I'm going to do this, but I don't really know what I want to accomplish. I don't really know what's the reason I'm doing this. You're not going to usually be able to get out of it what you'd like. So really, we want to be intentional about what we're doing, why we're doing it, to understand the value it has for our spiritual growth. And, you know, our goal is to grow in intimacy with Christ during this time and to allow Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to increase our faith, to increase our dependency on Him. Fasting, it isn't something that is this strange, you know, left field kind of thing. It's regular Christianity. It's part of regular faith and regular life of following Jesus and being one of His disciples. In that passage, Jesus says, when you fast, it's a known fact that a regular disciple, a believer in Christ, he's going to fast. He's going to, or she's going to fast. It's not, you know, if you do, it's when you do. It's also important for us to understand the type of fasting that pleases God. You know, otherwise it's ineffective. You know, like the Pharisees in this passage, Jesus, he calls them hypocrites. They don't receive the reward of God. They receive only the recognition of their peers. Oh, wow, look at that holy man. Wow, he's really awesome. I wish I could be as holy as him. That's their reward. And that's it. Or like the people back in Isaiah's day, in chapter 58, here's what the people say in Isaiah chapter 58. They say, why have we fasted and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed? They're talking to God about that. Yet on the, and here's his reply to the people through the prophet Isaiah. He says, on the day of fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So here now, God asks them a question. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And here's kind of him giving now some answers. The type of fasting that pleases God, he says, is not the kind of fasting that I've chosen to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then, here's what's going to happen whenever we do things rightly. Your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call on and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with pointing a finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, here's what's going to happen. Then your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he'll strengthen your frame. And he goes on. There's more. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you'll raise up age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This is like an amazing promise, this restoration that God wants to bring through this humility of us setting aside our own will, our own things that comfort us, to seek Him. Humility, it's at the heart of what God wants in fasting and for to bring about the true gospel of caring for those in need, for blessing those who persecute us, things like that. From the Old Testament to the New, fasting is a way to humble ourselves before God. You know, it says that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That's a really key point there. When we humble ourselves before Him, you know, He's going to give us grace. He's going to be lifting us up. And it's not about the act of fasting, but the condition of the heart. Talking about humility, other passages throughout the scripture here. Ezra said, I proclaim to fast so we might be able to humble our, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey. In Psalms, David spoke about the purpose of fasting. I put on sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting. Even Ahab, a wicked king in the Old Testament, he received mercy from God when he fasted with sackcloth and ashes. Humbling yourself before God, even this wicked man Ahab received mercy from God. You know, God decided, I'll relent from what I've planned to do to Ahab. And the verse says, have you noticed Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. So this, Ahab received mercy and postponed the judgment of the Lord on him for that time. You know, and finally here in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is probably one of the most famous verses that we hear a lot from all spectrums of, you know, signs in people's yards and things. But it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what we want to do during this time. We want to humble ourselves before him. We want to seek his face. We want to turn from our own wicked ways. We want to lay down something that's important to us, like food. Maybe, you know, during this fast, the Lord will speak to you and say, I want you to set aside social media. I want you to stop looking at the news. I want you to stop listening to music. Whatever it is, I mean, be praying during this time, praying into this time of prayer and fasting, that the Lord would really do a mighty and powerful work in your heart and through you. There's really no telling what the Lord can do. Most of the revivals and big moves of God that took place throughout history, they started when people prayed together. So here we are, we're calling a fast, we're praying together as a body of believers. God can do so much through us whenever we're together seeking his face. In the New Testament, James, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So here the act of fasting does bring humility. And it helps to align us with the purposes of God. It puts us into an intentional place of weakness and causes us now to rather be able to depend on ourselves. You know, when I'm doing good in the morning, I'm happy. I've had plenty to eat and I'm okay. But sometimes if I haven't and, you know, I'm fit to be tied, I'm aggravated, I'm angry, you know, I can either act out in that way, offend the people around me, which is unfortunately what happens sometimes, or I can lean into the Lord and say, Lord, help me, give me grace. I want to rely on you. I want to live like you did, even though I don't have the strength right now to do it in my own, you know, physical body. In the passage in Matthew, Jesus, he's speaking out against the wrong heart that people had during and while they were fasting. They were missing the point. And you know, if you're doing something, you're doing all the right things. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were doing all the right things. You know, they had a systematic thing. You know, think about maybe they, if you had spreadsheets in those days, who knows? Maybe they used a spreadsheet to go through and check off each day that they've done this, that, and the other, and they've accomplished their holy duties, and they can move on. Maybe they just had planners or something. But nonetheless, they were doing the work, and they were doing it regularly, and they were doing it right. But they missed the heart of it. They missed the reason for it. It isn't about doing these things. It's about aligning your heart with God. It's aligning your heart with his purposes and humbling yourself before him. The act of fasting in and of itself doesn't have any value. But if we allow ourselves to be humbled and seek his face, it has great rewards. It says that our Father who sees in secret will reward us. It's also how we grow deeper in love with God. We spend time with him. It's how we grow in faith by listening for his voice. It's nothing to be proud about. You know, if we're proud because, oh man, I fast 3 times a week and, you know, hey, you don't, and obviously I'm holier than you. That's not me saying that. But if people were to say that, you're kind of missing the point again. You know, we're being proud about something that's really supposed to be bringing humility. So here now, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. This, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. Now that's there again, we can't boast about what we've done, what we've accomplished, and how many holy things we've done. That's irrelevant. It is by grace that we've been saved. So here, instead, fasting is a way for us to respond to the grace of God in a more wholehearted way. You know, we preached through Luke. Aaron and I took turns preaching through Luke, and it was it's a long book. You know, but there was one of the, you know, as we were preaching through Luke, the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector was very much kind of the exact same thing here. The Pharisee, he just went in, he bragged about all the things that he did. He bragged about his own holiness. He said, I fasted multiple times a week. It says in the story, he didn't receive anything from God, nothing whatsoever. But here, the loathsome tax collector that was, you know, just a reviled human being of the day, he prayed in humility, not even willing to lift his head up, and he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. He went home justified before God. It's the heart. It's the heart and how we approach him. So here, exercising or understanding the exercise of humbling oneself before God was in the context of grief. It was based in the Hebrew idea of mourning. Being in sorrow and grief, what was synonymous with being humbled. And here, sackcloth and ashes, they were a part of it. You know, tearing your clothes, pulling out hair, beating your breast, weeping, and they were and howling. All these things were common. Anything that would show agony was, you know, part of mourning, part of showing this grief. You want to do it outwardly. You know, Daniel, he says, in his 21-day fast, he called it a time of mourning. And when David fasted for his son's illness, it was also, he was mourning over his son's illness. All throughout the Old Testament, here the relationship that fasting has to mourning, it's in the way that grief affects the appetite. When a person is in the place of mourning, it isn't a statement of, I will not eat. It's more of, I couldn't eat if I wanted to. When you're in that place of grief, it just, you don't care about eating. There's no interest for food, and you just in that place of sorrow. So they're so emotionally occupied that the want or need for food kind of goes to the wayside. If you've ever had, you know, someone that you were a friend who was mourning over something, sometimes you'd have to encourage them. Go ahead, take something to eat. You need to get some strength physically. And this is this idea, it's the same way that mourning is part of humiliation. Fasting is the way to express humility before God. And that's why Jesus, whenever, when he talked about it in another place here, he says, he talked about mourning, and he replied to the questions of why his disciples didn't fast. This is when John's disciples came and they asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. And I think that gave me a real clarity as to why does he say they'll mourn? Because fasting was paralleled with mourning. And that's what it was seen as in the Old Testament. And then he goes on to say, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and they'll be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And this is where the purpose of fasting takes on a new light, a new reason, a new purpose. It's because of anticipation and excitement. We're looking forward now to the return of Christ. We're longing for his return. And so just correlate to that same kind of thing when you were young and in love. So I think about the time when I was dating my wife prior to being married. She lived in Gainesville. I lived in Toccoa. I would work all day long, and then I would, you know, eat supper and drive down to visit her. And then most of the time I'd get back home really late after driving back from Gainesville, go to sleep, go to work the next day tired, and do it all again. And you just continually being behind. But it didn't matter, my need for sleep and those things, because I wanted to see her. I was excited. I looked forward to, you know, at my time with her throughout that. And so that made the suffering at work, you know, while I was exhausted, more bearable. And so I think the same kind of thing as we long for Christ's return. We want to be in that place of love and longing, and we don't see these other things as important because we're looking towards our time with Him. This momentary discomfort that we're at in this life is nothing by comparison to the reward that we have with Him. And that's what we want to grow. We want to grow in love and that anticipation of seeing Him, being with Him. Here, when He ascended to heaven after the resurrection, He was taken away from the disciples. And so here now you can think about when your best friend gets taken away. They longed for His return. I can't wait for Him to come back. Oh, man, what are we going to do now? Every day we've spent time with Him, and now what do? It's going to be really boring and lonely without Jesus around. So they longed for His return. That's where we're at. We're in that place of longing for His return. This type of fasting is to help us, to cultivate that, to grow us in that place of looking for Him, just saying, Lord Jesus, we love You. We want to spend time with You in a deeper way. So this same yearning is to be with the one that we love. As we fast, it's going to grow us in love and focus on that person. This is the act of fasting. It deepens our love of Christ. Here, and we're called the bride of Christ. Jesus, He has a great desire for us. And it's really important, I think, to understand who we are. All right, so we're the bride of Christ, His body, us believers, Christians, men and women. I know it's weird and men don't like to think of ourselves as brides. But here in this way, it shows us His love, His desire, His want for us. He wants to spend time with us, just the same way that I wanted to spend time with Mandy, and I was willing to go the extra mile, literally all the way to Gainesville and back every day. He wants to spend time with us. The act of fasting here, it helps us connect with Him, and it helps us to grow in that relationship with Him. And He wants to awaken in us the knowledge. He wants to awaken this knowledge in us. So He wants to draw near to us. That's what Jesus wants to do. And this really does get accomplished in prayer and fasting. You may not see it right away. You may not go into the prayer room and say, all right, I'm going to try this fasting and prayer thing. Maybe, I'm going to do it for the first time. Maybe you don't experience this overwhelming sensation, but it is something. There are seeds being planted. There's something growing in us, that nearness to Him. Aaron talked about his time whenever leading up to him and Jen being married, and just that same feeling and that yearning and wanting to be back with her, to visit with her, not to just be talking on the phone or emails, I think is what he had talked about back in those days. So here, God, He opens up His heart through the Holy Spirit. So this is something that He gives us, the Holy Spirit. And this is an incredible gift, where while we wait, while we anticipate, He's able to give us the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to reside and live within us. It says about the Holy Spirit that no eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind is conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so here, this is our inheritance. This is our destiny to be co-heirs with Christ. And we really need to allow ourselves not to be content with a mediocre relationship with God. We shouldn't just walk every day and say, yeah, that's ho-hum. I don't really know Him. I've talked to Him a few times. But to really know Him, to really cultivate that relationship and be intimate in conversation and the knowledge of who He is. He wants much more for us, and He's given us everything that we need to do that. That's what the Scripture tells us. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to approximate His throne, everything we need to grow in relationship with Him. I'd like to ask the worship team if they could come forward, and we'll prepare to worship the Lord in song. I think during this, just I ask, how would we respond to this call from God, this call for prayer and fasting? And I believe that He would have us just to to take a few minutes while we're worshiping right here, just standing in our places, and in a minute we'll stand together. But just really seek him and ask him, Lord, how do you want me to engage with you in a deeper way? What do you want me to let go of, either temporarily during this fast or perhaps permanently? Ask him, what would you like for me to set aside? And, you know, maybe you don't have this feeling or desire or want. You know, I don't may say to yourself, I don't feel like I want to go deeper with the Lord. Well, you know somewhere out there in your heart you wish you wanted to. Pray for that. Lord, give me the desire to know you. Give me the desire to go deeper with you. Give me the desire to not be lethargic and apathetic about my relationship with you. So let's stand together, and as the worship team plays, we want to pray together. Just where you're at, ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. What would he have you give up during this time of fasting? What would he have you give up just altogether? And ask him to give him to give you more love in your heart, more desire for him in your heart. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together, to seek you and to fast and look for your presence, to look for a more of a longing and an anticipation of your return. I ask today that you would speak to us, that you would draw near to us. Lord, that you would quicken our hearts, that you would show us the things that aren't pleasing to you. Bring repentance, Lord God, for those things. And Lord, give us vision, excitement, and just a real anticipation of knowing you in a deeper way. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for everything that you have done in us, Lord, for what you're going to do, for the way that you're going to move. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've made. Lord, I thank you that you love us, that your mercies are new every day. But we want to be more intimate with you. Show us how to do that, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.